I want to say just before we come to the message, it's great to have the children here tonight. And boys and girls, you make sure before you go that you come up and there are goodie bags in the box over here at the front of the church. So make sure before you go home that you get a goodie bag. And that'll help you because you're maybe a wee bit depressed thinking about going back to school tomorrow. So you come up afterwards and get your goodies. But let's come to this great text of Scripture. Four words, not a very long text. We preach Christ crucified. We need to think first of all about the man who spoke these words. Who was it that spoke these words? Well, of course, it was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul here, he's writing to the church at Corinth. And the believers here, they're living in a city, and it's a very sinful city. And every kind of evil and every kind of vice was found in the city of Corinth. Sometimes we think that things are bad today, and they are bad. And we only know the half of it. But back in Paul's day, things were bad as well. Paul knew what it was to live in the midst of a corrupt society. He knew what it was to live in the midst of a society that was rotten to the core. And here's the message that Paul sends to this city of Corinth, this sinful city. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. You see, dear friends, that's the remedy for every city, for every place. This world is a fallen world, and sin has affected every country, every city, every place on earth. And the only remedy for it is the message of the gospel, the message that is above the pulpit, Christ crucified. If you like, that's the salt. The salt that is cast into the corruption and into the rottenness. And you see, it's the salt, it's the antiseptic, we could say, for this lost world. So it's Paul here who writes these words. And you see, Paul was a man who would not be sidetracked. I want you to notice that. He was a man who would not be sidetracked. There were people who wanted Paul to preach another message. They didn't want to hear about a crucified Savior. That was vulgar to them. And you see, for the Jews, this message of a crucified Christ, a man who was supposedly the Messiah, and he was nailed to the cross, and he died this cruel death, this brutal death, for him to be the Messiah, that was disgraceful. He couldn't possibly be the Messiah who had been long predicted and long preached by the Old Testament prophets. The Jews require a sign. That's what Paul says in verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. The Jews of Paul's day, they weren't prepared to accept this message that a Savior had died, that he was crucified, and by simple faith in his finished work, their sins would be taken away and their names would be written in heaven. That wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to see a sign. I suppose you could say that they wanted some magic. They wanted something outward, something spectacular, something miraculous. They wanted a sign. But you know, the reality is that the Lord Jesus had given them many signs. Now you think of his life. You think of the Savior's life and how for 3.5 years he had walked the length and breadth of Israel. He had healed the sick. He had raised the dead. He had cleansed the lepers. He had liberated demoniacs. He had walked upon the waves. He had stilled the storms. He had fed the hungry multitudes. He had transformed ruined lives. Even when it came to his death, he put out the sun. At his birth, he put a star in the sky. All these signs were there for the Jews to see. And yet they say, Paul, Paul, give us something more. Give us another sign, Paul. And if you give us a sign, Paul, then we'll consider this message. You know, there are a whole lot of people today, and they are just like the Jews. There are a whole lot of people today, and they want something miraculous. They want an outward sign. It's all to do with what they can see. And there are a lot of people, and they won't receive Christ. They won't accept the gospel because, as far as they're concerned, they can't see anything with their eyes that would make them accept this message. And you know what's really tragic about it is this attitude has crept into the church. Seeing is believing. I suppose that's the way we could put it. There are a lot of people today, and they will only believe if they see. It's all about what they can see. And how sad it is when it creeps into the church, and when even we as believers, we become preoccupied with what we can see. We become preoccupied with the visible. We become preoccupied with numbers and outward things and attendances. And of course, whenever you get preoccupied with outward things in the church and with numbers and with all these things, then your faith's up and down like a yo-yo. Isn't that right? One day you're in the clouds, you're on the mountaintop. The next day you're right down, next day back up, next day down, you're up and down. One Sunday you're up, next Sunday you're down. Because you're preoccupied with the visible, the outward things. The Bible tells us as believers to walk by faith, not by sight. But it seems to be that believers have great trouble obeying that command. But Paul faced these people, these Jews, and they required a sign. They required a prop, you could say, for their faith. They wanted something to lean on. They weren't content with the Word of God. The Word of God didn't satisfy them. It wasn't enough for them. And it's a tragedy today whenever we need a prop. We need things to lean on whenever the Bible's not enough. And how sad it is that this is creeping into the churches. So Paul, he faces these Jews. They want the sign. But Paul's a man who would not be sidetracked, and he says, we preach Christ crucified. You may want the sign, in spite of the fact that you've had umpteen signs throughout the Savior's life, more than enough proof, ample proof for you to believe. You may want the sign, but that's not what I'm going to give you. I'm just going to give you the simple message of the gospel of a crucified Christ. Then there were the Greeks. Paul talks here about the Greeks, verse 22. We would call them Gentiles. That's what it literally means, the Gentiles, people who are not Jews. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, the Greeks seek after wisdom. These Greeks, they had to work it all out. Basically, that was their problem, these Gentiles who were unbelievers. They had to work it all out before they would accept Christ. I want to tell you tonight in this service, don't even try, don't even think that you can work it all out before you're saved, because you'll not do it. There are many things that you will not know before you're saved. But you've got to take that step, and here's the encouragement for you tonight. After you take the step and receive Christ, then the Holy Spirit will show you the things that you don't know. He'll help you to understand the things that you at this moment don't understand. Please don't fall into the trap of trying to work everything out, trying to work the whole scheme of things out before you come to the Savior. So we have these two groups of people. We could say on the one hand there were the Jews and they were wanting magic tricks. But on the other hand, the Greeks, the Gentiles, they were more interested in logic. They were logical thinkers and they had to work it all out. And Paul says, this is the message. We preach Christ crucified. You Jews may want a sign, but we preach Christ crucified. I'm not going to be sidetracked. You Gentiles, you Greeks, you seek after wisdom. You want to work it all out. You think by your human intelligence you can work it all out before you come to Christ. Well, in spite of that, I'm going to give you the same message that I give the Jews. We preach Christ crucified. You know, lost souls need the gospel. They need to hear of a crucified and risen Savior. That's what they really need to hear. Now, that's not what they may want to hear. You take the average person in new buildings tonight, you ask them, would you like to hear the gospel? And the answer will be no. The average person tonight does not want to hear the gospel. They want to hear preaching about positive thinking. They want psychology. They want words that are going to inspire them and boost their self-esteem. They do not want the gospel. But here's the important point. The gospel is exactly what they need. And Paul does not give these souls what they want, but he gives them what they need. Paul does not bring the message that they want to hear, but it is the message that they need to hear. And so he writes to the church and he says, we preach Christ crucified. Now you say, well, what's the good in sending this message to the church, to believers at the church? Well, the idea, of course, is that this message would be preached in the church to the unbelievers who were gathering there. But this was a message that the church had to take outside to the lost who were outside. Probably at this stage, the church in Corinth just met in somebody's house. They didn't have a building like this to meet in. But Paul sends this message, we preach Christ crucified. I want the church at Corinth to preach this message. And you must get outside the four walls of the building, and preach Christ crucified. So here was a man who would not be sidetracked. And we need to be like Paul. We need to be determined believers as we live for the Lord and day by day as we share the gospel with others as opportunity arises. We need to be determined. The Lord wants people who are not easily distracted, people who are not sidetracked. And that's the kind of person Paul was. He was a man who would not be sidetracked. Moving on, secondly, I want you to notice here that there's a method which should not be sidelined. Not only a man who would not be sidetracked, but a method which should not be sidelined. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Notice the second word, please. Preach. Preach. That's the method which should not be sidelined. Paul doesn't say we have discussion groups. We have question and answer sessions. We meet in little huddles and we discuss these things, and everybody's opinion is equally valid and there's really nobody who's right. It's just whatever your opinion is. No, Paul doesn't say that. Paul says we preach. And that's the way that God has ordained that the gospel should be communicated, through preaching. Whenever the preacher stands up to share the gospel, he's preaching about facts, and these are things that he's convinced are true, and this is not something that's left open to people's opinions. This is fact. And the preacher must declare the facts of the gospel. Now, let me just say that there are a whole lot of churches today, and they're sidelining this method preaching. And there are a whole lot of modern methods that are being introduced, and slowly but surely, churches are getting away from preaching. And that's something that saddens me, and it's something that concerns me. And it's exactly the way the devil wants the church to go. We're getting away from the method that God has blessed, that God has ordained. In verse 18, Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." There is power in preaching. There's power in preaching the gospel. Just straight down the middle, simple and plain. Paul says that there's power in it. So that tells me one thing. We are not to try to work out whether this is a good method. Or is there a better method, a better way to communicate the gospel? That's not for us to work out. That's none of our business. God has said it. It's the method that God has ordained and commanded, and it's the method that we must use, and it's a method which we must not sideline. Many people do not like the preaching of the gospel. Many people find it unpalatable. You will get a crowd to a church where the preaching is minimal. And you've got all kinds of music and lively singing and worship leaders. And my great crowd goes and everybody comes out and says, "What a great church, boy, that's some church." But not necessarily. Very often. Now this is something, these are not my words, this is Spurgeon. The Prince of Preachers, he said, very often the church that man thinks is best is the very church that God finds an abomination. And you mark my words tonight, very often in many cases the church where there's a crowd and the numbers are big, very often that's the church where the preaching is sidelined. And very often that's the church that Almighty God frowns upon. The problem in Ulster is that people like a crowd. People like to go where there's a crowd. It's, as we should say, it's a kind of herd mentality. And the tragedy is that there are crowds and multitudes of people and a lot of young people, and they're going to churches today and they're meeting in places where the preaching of the cross has been sidelined. This is a method, Paul says, should not be sidelined. So we have a man who would not be sidetracked and a method which should not be sidelined. But I want to finish tonight. Let me share a third thought. We have here a message which cannot be sidestepped. There's a message which cannot be sidestepped. And it's the last two words above my head, Christ crucified. This is the very heart of the gospel. It's the very kernel of the gospel. And it cannot be sidestepped. And it cannot be bypassed. If you want to be accepted into heaven someday, if you want to spend eternity in the joy, if you want to spend eternity in the joys and the delights of heaven someday, you must come by the way of the cross. You must trust in Christ crucified. Let me ask you a question tonight as we finish. Whenever you stand before Jesus Christ, what will you say to him so that he will grant you access into heaven? What will you say to Jesus? What reason will you give to Jesus Christ so that he will open the pearly gates of heaven and say, "Enter in, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world"? What will you say when you stand before Jesus? Now the reality is every one of us are going to stand before Jesus. And as one old preacher put it, when it comes to the judgment, it'll be single file. It'll be single file. Every one of us will appear before the Son of God individually. Now the question is, what will you say? Will you say, "I believe the Bible. That is good, but I'm afraid it's not good enough"? Will you say, "I believe in God"? That's good, because there's a lot of people today and they're atheists and they live like animals as if there is no God. So it's good you believe in God, but that's still not enough. You see, the Bible tells us that the devils, the demons in hell, they believe those things. They believe that there is a God. They believe the Bible, but they're not saved. And friend, good as it is for you to believe the Bible and believe in God, it's not enough. Well, then the next question is, what is enough? What does God the Father require in order to receive you into his heavenly kingdom? Well, there's the answer. Christ crucified. When you stand before the Lord someday, if you can only say, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead." If you can say that someday, I tell you, the gates of heaven will swing open. You see, the only reason and the only means by which we can enter into heaven and spend eternity in that land that is fairer than day, the only way we can do it is through Christ crucified. This is a special message. You see, it speaks about Christ. That word is a Greek word. It literally means anointed. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. You've probably heard the word Messiah. And this word Christ or Messiah, it simply means the anointed one, the one that God has chosen. God the Father has selected his Son to be the Savior of the world. And this is a special message because of the one that it proclaims. I want you to notice that Paul speaks about Christ. The message is about a person. Paul doesn't say, "We preach Christianity." Or Paul doesn't say, "We preach social activism. Get out into the community. Do things. Cut people's lawns. Help people out. And that's the gospel." Those things are good, by the way. There's nothing wrong with those things. Practical Christianity. But that's not the gospel. That's not what saves souls. It's not what redeems men and women. Paul says we preach Christ, the special one. Those of you who follow football, you probably will know that the manager of Chelsea is Mourinho, isn't it? And what do they call him? The special one. The special one. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a far greater special one. He's the true special one. He's the one that we must preach. It's a special message, but it's a specific message. because it says we preach Christ crucified. Doesn't end with Christ. You see, if it was just we preach Christ, you could preach about his life and you could preach about his teachings and the Sermon on the Mount and all these things, but that wouldn't be enough. Because the gospel and the only means of sinners being converted is through a crucified Christ, a crucified Savior. It's the precious blood that he shed that makes the difference. The cross is at the very heart of the message. Oh, I hear people laugh and scoff. You don't preach that slaughterhouse religion. You don't preach the message of the abattoir, talking about this gruesome crucifixion business and blood everywhere. And stop talking about that. Don't preach such an outdated message. That's for the Middle Ages. Well, I want to tell you tonight, it's not for the Middle Ages, it's for all ages. It's the only message. The cross of Christ, it was a cruel place, it was a brutal place. But you see, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And you see, there was a radical problem. We have a radical problem. It's called sin. This is not a skin-deep problem. This is not a minor problem that fallen man has. This is a radical problem. And whenever you've got a radical problem, you need a radical solution. And the radical solution was that the Son of God was hung up to bleed and die. His body was mutilated. He became sin for us. He was abandoned by God. That's radical. But that was the only way that sinners could be saved. And the Lord Jesus died on a cruel cross. You know, people today, they have this idea about the cross. You know, there's kind of flowers around the cross. Ribbons and tinsel. As people wear the cross as jewelry. And you know, people are so far removed from the concept of the cruelty and the brutality of what really happened that day at Calvary. But you know, that's the only message that will save your soul. Someone has said, Jesus was crucified not in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. The Lord Jesus Christ died a criminal's death and he was placed in the middle. Because you see, the person in the middle was the most despised. He was the worst of the three. And he did it all for you and all for me. Thank God for this message that Paul preached. This message cannot be sidestepped. It's a message that you must face up to. And only through this message, the message of a crucified Christ, can you find peace with God. We preach Christ crucified. Thank God for a man who would not be sidetracked, a method which should not be sidelined, and a message which cannot be sidestepped.